Hello there. If you're a returning listener, we're glad to have you back. If this is your first time listening, you may be wondering what you're in for and what we as a podcast can offer that differentiates us from millions of other podcasts. Let me start off by saying that we don't interview people. You won't hear conversations with politicians, celebrities, intellectuals, or even experts in their field on here. We definitely aren't famous ourselves. None of us are the Hawk Tua girl or a problematic comedian. We certainly don't try to break down current events and repackage them in a fun or interesting way. We especially don't take an in-depth topic and make it informative or interesting in a highly produced way. Something else you won't find here is in-depth true crime reportage or cold case sleuthing. Sports talk is definitely out of the question. And if you're wondering if we recap old TV shows, we don't. So what do we do on this podcast that makes us stand out from the crowd? Well, we like to review things at Costco and rate them on a scale of boom or doom. If you ask me, our podcast gets 5 big booms. Boom! 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 My name's the Brizzler.
Oh, what?
I'm Matt.
And I'm Jake. Oh, man.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
Jake, are you familiar with any of those references?
I am familiar with that, but I really like
Double Chunk Chocolate Chip Cookie.
Have you seen the clip where they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear about your brother's passing. He gets 5 big booms." I'm like, boom, boom. Like, somebody wrote in to do that, and they had the gall to be like, "All right, let's give him some booms. Give the dead guy some booms."
I enjoyed your commitment to the bit, Brandon. That was good. Although you doing a laundry list of like what we don't do makes me feel like maybe we should do one of those things.
So did you catch the sports game last night?
Yeah, sports game. That's actually what I was getting at. I wanted to talk about sports.
Yeah, sports, news, politics. Like, I feel like if you are more topical like that, like your podcast has such a short shelf life. Like, nobody's going back 2 weeks to like, "Oh, let me hear what they have to say about the, you know, election or whatever that happened a month ago," or, you know.
Yeah.
Or meanwhile, if you have a true crime podcast, they're going back like 100 years or 60 years to figure out who murdered that one girl on her way home from school.
Meanwhile, everyone's checking out our catalog because they're like, "Man, what did they say in December?"
I mean, it's lying sacks of shit.
It would be fun to have the time and resources to dedicate to, like, here's a topic that we're interested in, and then we just dive, you know, in depth, like
do a deep dive into it.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, like a what kind of podcast am I thinking of? Like This American Life, or like
right,
How Stuff Works, or whatever. You know,
there's one I really enjoy. I enjoy it so much I can't remember the name of it. But they only do like haunted experiences. Is from OPB? God, what was it called?
Oh, you've talked about it on here before.
Yeah, they collect stories of people's like weird and supernatural experiences, and they actually interview the people too. So they double down. They interview people and they go all in.
Well, now we've actually talked a little bit about interviewing people because we've got some schmancy people in our lives, or not necessarily schmancy people, but like people who are experts in their fields that we've talked about. So if that's something that people are interested in, you know, let us know if that tickles your fancy, because we might try to incorporate some of that.
You fancy yourself an expert, come on our show, bro.
Yeah, tell do us it. About I it dare you. I bet you won't.
We'll question you.
Speaking of being experts, we did have some feedback to an episode a few episodes ago about that I believe our friend on Reddit, Critical End 110, commented about sour beers. They took issue with with how we presented.
All right, yeah,
fight me. Yeah. What did it say again?
Yeah.
Come at me,
bro.
So, my only pushback would be in sort of brushing off kettle sours as cheating. I think a lot of people misconstrue it as a shortcut, but it's a fairly traditional way to make certain sours that don't require or desire aging. Example, Berliner Weiss. It's not chemicals really that get us to the kettle sour that would be cheating. It's lactic acid bacteria, which is one of the standard souring bacteria.
You're getting tipsy while reading this.
Instead of long-term souring, lactic acid bacteria would be added to the wort after lautering and allow to lower the pH over a few hours/days. After that, we boil the wort as normal to sterilize the bacteria, hop, chill, and ferment with yeast as usual.
Ugh, critical end. We get it. You make beer. What a jerk. No, that's actually good. That's and actually,
so man, why did you say all that when you?
So I did over. Poser. All right, I'm gonna rewind. I did oversimplify it, but I think it's more so for the, like, it's a cool ship, which is you literally chill it under the night sky when it's spring, and you capture wild bacteria in the vessel as it cools to a certain temperature. I think there is a very distinct community in the beer nerds that's like, that's a wild sour beer versus a kettle sour, which is like, yeah, sure, it's done in tank. Like, eh.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I did oversimplify, but that's from, like, I, you know, I didn't consider that we had a beer nerd listening, so, and brewer. So thank you for thank you for putting that out there.
Beer nerd. Now,
this is
nerd
my show, and, so
yeah. A beer nerd and brewer who has also taken a gander at some of our earlier episodes and has let us know that you know, listening back at the episodes isn't the worst experience ever. So, you know, check out our catalog. We've got like a year and a half of stuff. No, more than a year. Year and a half, thereabouts.
Well, start no, there's now, a reason why and we... then let us know when you catch up, and then we'll know that's how long of a time we had.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, that's why we're called Qualified Nonsense. We're not, you know, going to give you the best
qualified enough.
I don't know. I think it's pretty solid information. You can definitely, if we give legal advice, you can definitely use it. Same with finance, financial advice. We're totally qualified to do that.
Yeah, yep. Listen to us.
Yeah, 100%.
Tax professionals, let us know. You can write it off.
Sovereign citizen shit. We got your back.
Sovereign citizen. Oh shit, got it.
Did you hear ship? Citizenship.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Hey guys. So on the podcast, I've talked about how I wish I was a handier person, and there's a couple of things I don't fuck with, and one of them's plumbing, but I fucked with plumbing today.
My man.
And I learned quite a few things. I had to rebuild in all of our sinks. We have hot and cold side handles, hot side, cold side. Well, there's this little piece in there. Let me read it to you.
Is it a mixer?
It's a sink handle valve stem assembly. Ooh. So this is like what keeps water from just shooting out of the handle, or like water consistently flowing. So when you turn it, it literally like goes like this. Well, these were all broken, and our faucets were leaking under the handles.
Oh, okay.
Like every single one, they all pretty much failed at the same time. So we have one, two, three, four, five sets in the house. And one of these, for like, this is just a, like a hot side or cold side, either or, that's $38.
God damn. Did you check the warranty? If they all failed at sort of the same time, did they get recalled or
so
anything?
It was leaking, and I didn't really want to deal with it at the time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it needs to be done.
Right.
So I had to rip them all apart, and I don't really deal with plumbing, and it kind of freaked me out, but got them all in there. And that was, they have to go in a very certain way too. Cause if you put them on the wrong way, then you won't be able to be like, whoop, go back. Because if you start here, you have to start here and then go back. You can't start there and go. Yeah.
Is it threaded? How do they attach? Do they thread into the...
These? No, so if like if you take the handle off this way,
yeah,
these drop in, and then you put the handle over it. So they don't thread in, they drop in, and then the handles go over.
Got it.
So real visual like for the listeners.
yeah.
Either way, it was a test of patience as well with the first two.
I bet.
Like, why won't you fucking turn the other way?
I can't tell you. I mean, Brandon, back me up on this if this is your experience also, but like, you know, any sort of project that requires a visit to Lowe's or Home Depot or something usually requires a follow-up visit, at least one follow-up visit, because
if not something's two.
Yeah, if mm-hmm. not two, because something's always like mismeasured, or like you thought you had enough and you don't, or you know, the whole measure twice, cut once. We've all been bitten by that, even though we measure like 500 times, still cut it the wrong fucking way.
I'll also say, guys, we should quit this podcast and figure out how to build this piece for under $30.
We're doing the wrong. Yeah.
Crazy. Because one of the reasons I wanted to tackle it, I was like, think about what a plumber would not only charge me for this, but their labor. I was like,
Screw that. Yeah, dude. The other thing that, so I've got a neighbor of mine who's, what is he? He's not an architect, but he's an engineer in an architecture firm, and he works on big, big projects like UNC projects, like hospital, university size, like building projects. And not that we're a political podcast, but what with the current political climate of the potential tariffs and the actual tariffs that are manifesting, prices for raw materials are skyrocketing, and projects are getting, I know we all know this, but it's fun, not fun. It's interesting to hear about it from a builder's perspective, talking about when they're dealing with like budgets of the millions of dollars, and how much a $200 million project climbs to 300 million, and like just because some politicians are like, hey, let's do this instead of this, and how that sort of manifests in the market, I guess. The raw goods marketplace, pretty wild.
It's not what it used to be.
Well, yeah, just learn how to DIY it, like
thank God
Matt,
for
the tool man Ellis over here.
Good setup. Yeah. I mean, I will say though, and tell me, Matt, once you've done a DIY that you've fixed something that you also know that even though those parts are expensive,
my dick feels this big.
exactly. That's what's great about it. Just to let you know.
It is like an accomplishing feeling. Like, I fully admit I'm not a super handy person, but like when I figure out something, and like, thank God for YouTube University, like that's how I figured out what the part was. Cause I was like, oh, it's a sync thing. And then, you know, using general keywords,
doing that kind of stuff, like where you are using referencing YouTube a lot and you're having to like pause and hit start, like doing that makes me really want to drop the money on paying for the like YouTube paid whatever, so you don't get the
like
the subscription.
Also start your own channel of doing it, because I will say the one thing that like is kind of off-putting about it is when you see these like how-to videos, they're usually generational people, so it's like some 70-year-old guy trying to use a camera phone. He's like, I gotta put this down, I'll show you what it looks like when I'm done. Yeah. You know, so it's like, if Brandon, you could figure out a way, I'll gladly watch your video over there. It's because I was like, oh man, this is going to be like a visual nightmare. I just need to know how to do it.
Well, so, okay. So Matt, I know you've been in the sort of photography, videography business for a while. Have you ever tried to do a video tutorial?
We've done them for some clients. I'm not a fan of, I understand their value, but I'm not a fan of doing them.
Yeah,
just because there's so many steps involved.
Oh my gosh, it's like, such a ball ache. Like it's for my current job, I'm doing. They utilize video a lot because the company's asynchronous. They're like all over the country, so, or rather all over the world. So time zones don't line up on the regular. So they use this service called Loom that just is designed to make quick videos to just send to each other. So instead of writing a long email, anyway, they make a lot of videos, and a lot of my job is to make tutorials and stuff. And granted, most of it's on the screen, so it's just like screen capture stuff. But I've had to do a couple of like video recordings of me physically spinning up a computer, like a new computer for an employee. And that alone is such a production. But like, if you think about like the, on Instagram or whatever, like the, well, I forget what you call it, like over the top, like cooking tutorials. Mm-hmm. What a ball ache. That's got to take so much time and setup and energy. It's certainly longer than the actual recipe is.
It's usually the starting and stopping of the process, because like there'll be a step. So with cooking, we actually had a hot sauce company that we were representing for a while, and we were doing some cooking stuff, and it's like, okay, there's that one shot. Now stop. And you're like, well, I can't. It's on the stove. Like it's continuing to cook. You need to hurry up. And it's like, well, let's line it up. Or it's like, we can't line it up now. Because it's cooking. It's
cook. Yeah, right. Exactly.
But if you have anything that's like you are able to start and stop, they take, I would say, twice as long to film, because you want to make sure that each step is properly filmed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they take twice as long to make.
Well, at that point, you're deploying multiple cameras to get multiple angles, in which case it turns into huge cost. Like that scales, that balloons so fast with equipment.
I feel like people who are in the trades who make good tutorial videos probably have a passion, like a side passion for videography and video editing and things like that. And then their normal job just pays the bills, and then they just
Or they have a whole team. Like I've seen, and I don't know how you, honestly, it probably goes back to people having independent like income or independently wealthy going into it, because it takes a lot of overhead to make that happen.
Well, I've seen that you can go onto Home Depot's website and they have tutorials, but I feel like they're really lacking in detail. They're very, kind of surface level, like
it's a tutorial to say it's a tutorial. It's like,
yeah,
this is how it works, but not this is how it works for the specific thing that you're looking for.
Well, but they're also not getting paid for that, right? Like that's not something that you're buying the product. Yeah,
that's like a side quest.
And then you're buying sometimes the service, but the service would be to install it. So if they're like, they're putting minimum effort into that, I would imagine.
Here's to turn on the stove, and here's how to use your oven. It's like, great, but it's like sitting in my living room right now. How do I get it in
there? Yeah. I love those. I've had to be a mechanic for my washer and dryer. And that's an area. That's a level of electrical work that I'm not comfortable with. Like anytime there's a board, like a circuit board involved, I'm like, I get pretty squirrely.
Nope. Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to mess this up more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm probably going to void a warranty by doing anything.
I know. I've been in there with like the electrical prods and like setting the dial to the electrical tester. And I'm like touching things. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like I have no business being in here.
You're just hoping. Beep, boop, beep, on.
exactly. That's exactly me.
Well, should we take a home handyman break and hit some questions?
Yeah, that sounds good.
For sure, let's do it.
Let's take a handy break.
Have you ever looked up into the sky and thought, huh, what is that? Well, that's the
universe.
And today, the universe is saying, have a good day.
All right, and welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now we're going to take some questions from Reddit that we have randomly chosen, and we'll do our best to answer them here. So the first one comes to us from the Ask Reddit subreddit, username The Pink Flower G. They ask, what hidden treasure or lost artifact do you believe still exists and can be found?
It's in the treasure G spot.
Good one. Nice. Was pretty proud of himself for that one.
Got it.
Oh, wait. Whoops, yeah! Wrong drum sound. There we go.
Ain't never been found, neither.
I feel like this is like the sort of.
Can you read it again? Like, I totally I totally zoned out when I thought I had the best joke.
What hidden treasure or lost artifact do you believe still exists and can be found?
I was going to say that I wish I knew more about these sorts of things because I like them in theory. I just haven't gone out to look up, you know, things like I'm like thinking about like the Lost Ark and the Ark of the Covenant and then the Atlantis, that sort of thing. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at the like top answers and it's all stuff I've never really heard of, but
like Malaysia Airlines flight 581. Still waiting to find that.
I wouldn't say that's a hidden treasure, or I guess it's a lost artifact.
Yeah, if you found it, you'd probably make some coin.
Like this person says, DB Cooper's money, only a small amount was ever recovered. If he didn't abscond with it successfully, it's probably out in the wilderness.
I actually have a fun fact about that. There was somebody at the brewery who lives in Yakult, and the FBI was actually on his property back in the day when DB Cooper flew over, because they found on his property a jacket and some unclaimed money that wasn't theirs. Ooh. Which is kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Shout out to Diamond Jim.
Diamond Jim. I mean, Jimmy Hoffa. They never found Hoffa, right?
Right. This person says the hard drive lost in a landfill with $750 million of Bitcoin on it. Is that a real thing? So
that is real. That dude actually went to his town, his city council, and petitioned to help, like, allow me to go find it. And he was going to split half of it with them. And they still declined his request.
How much? Yeah. How much was on there?
It says $750 million
worth of Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin.
How do you accidentally? I mean, I have a lot of questions about that story.
I believe it was a discarded hard drive, like when Bitcoin first came out, kind of a thing.
I've heard, like, you know, horror stories of people who, like, you know, they got paid, you know, 10 Bitcoin, whatever. They got paid in, like, 10 Bitcoin or 100 Bitcoin when it first came out, you know, for doing a job. And at the time it was worthless and they ended up getting rid of it. And, you know, today it would have been millions of dollars.
There's a guy I know who struggled to find girlfriends. He finally found one. And he really liked her and he wanted to help her out. So he bought her a new iPhone when she needed it. And he spent an entire Bitcoin on it. But back then it was like $1,000. I was like, oh, ouch.
Yikes.
This person says the Democratic Party's ability to get its collective heads out of its collective asses.
Damn.
Bada bing, shots fired.
Burned him.
Got him. Not wrong.
The top answer here is the tomb of Genghis Khan. It says the story goes that the burial party killed everyone they met on the way to bury him, and that they were in turn murdered by other soldiers to keep the secret of where he was buried.
That's kind of baller. I wish somebody did it. Nobody tell him. Now I'm going to kill you so you don't tell anybody.
This is interesting to me. A pristine, complete copy of London After Midnight, which is a 1927 silent movie that was a Lon Chaney movie. You can find stills of it, but the complete movie's been either destroyed or lost.
Oh, interesting.
I guess I don't have a good handle on like what hasn't been found and what is still outstanding.
Yeah. I know there's, I mean, yeah, beyond like Indiana Jones stuff.
Right. I know. That's what I was thinking.
I know there's like a myth about Confederate gold, that there's supposedly this like treasure trove of, it's basically like the Confederate treasury in gold that was hidden somewhere after the Confederacy was defeated and somebody took it. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's, that's true, but I think it's like a,
you know, was it ever like written about or documented that it existed?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Oh. I mean, so I guess it's real that nobody knew where the money went. Yeah. So, although there was that that scene at the beginning of Time Cop where the guy travels from the future to rob the Confederate soldiers of their gold, and he like uses future guns and shoots them up.
I don't remember that at all.
That would be like, if
so you, maybe that's what happened to it. It was a time
traveler. If you had access to time travel and like you could just be like sitting on your couch one night and be like, actually, you know what would be fun is to like, I think that would probably be one of them, of like go back to World War II and like just go to a Nazi encampment and just be like, bah! like just one, not to change the entire war, but just to be like, oh, and then you get like written about in Nazis like, I don't know, there's one weird story about how this Nazi encampment was found and they all got murdered, but nobody was ever assigned there.
This guy shot up a camp with laser guns.
So it was said.
Yeah, I guess that this question does require a little bit of research.
Just take out like Confederates with an Apache helicopter. Just
there's a, actually, they released a game like that where you're you have modern weapons, but you're in the medieval time, and it's like a third person sort of adventure game that you can, but you go in like with a machine gun. And
so you just always win. Like, how do you lose?
Well, I mean, you still have to like reload your, you know, 30 or 60 round magazine. So like, I guess you could still like, if it's an actual army,
that'd be fun. I want to know what game that is.
I'll see if I can find the link.
I just threw a link, a Wikipedia link into our chat here in Riverside, that it's a list of missing treasures. Like the Ark of the Covenant is at the top. Oh, and then it says if it's a legend or if it's confirmed. Partially confirmed.
Awful lot of legends on here. Oh, the Oak Island Money Pit. I do know of that one. Interesting.
Nazi gold train.
That would be cool.
Ooh, that was a... There's a show on, I think I've talked about this before, but there's a show on Netflix called
Nazi Gold Train,
Berlin, Babylon, Berlin. It's called Babylon, Berlin. And it's about post World War One, Berlin, Germany. And it's really, really interesting. And it's in German. So if you're into subtitles, I would highly recommend it. I haven't seen the second season, but the first season's a banger. And
here's Confederate gold. It says it's listed as a legend. Circa 1865, gold from the Confederacy lost after the American Civil War. Interesting.
Listeners, if you've got any specific item that would fall into this category, let us know, because obviously we're not very well versed in the genre.
A lot of jewels. Oh, here's that Bitcoin buried in Newport landfill. Oh, yeah, that's on there. He's repeatedly requested that the council allow him to search for his device buried in Doxway landfill, Newport, Wales. and has been refused by Newport City Council. As of November 2024, the missing Bitcoins were worth $750 million, and Howell sued the council for £495. £495 million. I mean, why is he suing them? Would he have... I mean, is the city responsible for getting rid of the hard drive? I think
it's just to keep it in litigation so somebody cracks.
Yeah, probably. It's probably a tactic.
He's just racking up court costs.
I mean, at this point, it says it was lost in 2013, so like it's not in their city land. Like,
yeah.
Like it wouldn't.
You never know, but let him go search. Find out.
Dig through a decade's worth of garbage.
If he had recycled his hard drive, then it would have been probably easier to find.
Also, like, it's probably come in contact with so many magnetic things over the years, it's just trashed anyway.
That's true. If it's a spinning hard drive, there's a likelihood.
I guess I don't understand how Bitcoin works, because he wouldn't be able to access it from...
He would. So there's hot and cold storage. Cold storage is on a hard drive, and the hot storage is like on a digital wallet. So you can store it all on a hard drive, but with Bitcoin, I think it's you only get two attempts on a hard drive to remember your password that you set for it. And if you don't hit those, it locks you out forever. And then you can transfer those from the cold storage to the hot storage as you want. It's just more of a, some view it as more secure way. Like it's like actually storing money under your bed, you know?
Yeah.
It's on this app, and that app might've gotten hacked by China or whatever.
There's a fun anecdote that we like to use in IT. So like the security side, the most secure that a device can be is that if no one accesses it, including the person that it's assigned to. And we all like to get a chuckle out of that, because that's always the best case scenario from a security standpoint. And so sure, it's super, super secure if no one knows the password and it's stuck on a hard drive in a landfill. Like, ain't nobody getting it. But
speaking of passwords, I just feel like I jumped into the 21st century. I had previously either been trying to remember all my passwords or physically writing them down, and I just got one of those like track my password apps. Do you guys use those?
I do at work, but I haven't. No. But I do end up using like the Chrome extension, or not the Chrome extension, like the built-in Chrome storage, as well as my Apple device has a password section.
My wife would write hers down in a Sudoku boot.
My wife.
And I love to purge things because my family likes to keep a lot of things. And there's been a lot of times I've come very close to accidentally throwing it away.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really smart. One Password is a good service. I'm trying to think of the other ones, but especially with a family that is becoming more technology integrated, to have like a family plan makes a lot of sense, because that way everybody has their stored passwords in a centralized location where you and Kara would be able to manage that stuff from like a single location. That makes sense.
I use Password Safe.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is nice. I mean, it's with one password, I'm using it for work because we have it through work, and I've got a lot of like administrative access. So there's like a lot of shared passwords that we use, as well as like storing my own, and they have things called vaults. So basically, like or you can just organize your passwords and share certain passwords and not others, and it makes it really useful not to have to try and figure them out every time.
Nice.
Yeah, I dig it.
Well, yeah, listeners, if you can think of any missing treasures or artifacts,
Or maybe any would like found any local to your area.
That'd be cool.
Like, did we have any like lore about Sandy? We had the bag lady who was actually a person, but
I mean, I feel like there's always a lot heard of lore, that she like wealthy, legends around. But yeah, I don't know if it was true.
It was one of those like she was wealthy, but couldn't live in houses because of some chemicals they use in the drywall or something like that. I don't know. I was like, I'm 16, so I'll believe it.
Yeah,
but also like I won't.
That's totally likely. Wait, so this does sort of dip its toe into not the supernatural, but like the conspiracy e stuff. Not that we have to be a conspiracy podcast like we normally are, but I would love to be a person who believed in Bigfoot. Like that would be fun, because I feel like Bigfoot would be kind of like adjacent to this, which is like a creature in the wild of the Pacific Northwest that, you know, exists and no one knows about. There it is. Do you guys ever watch that show? Did you watch that show back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
X-Files?
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Well, that's the end of that segment. Yeah. Brandon?
Next question.
Keep that train rolling.
All right. The next one. Hold on. Should be more prepared. Okay. This comes from the questions subreddit. From Certified Halfwit, they ask,
we should interview them.
Hey, that's our name.
yeah, close. Yeah. Anyone cringe heavily when they think of things they did when they were younger?
Oh my god.
Ooh.
That's how I spend half my time. Like if I don't have a screen in front of me and it's silent,
you're laying down in bed.
And, yeah. Turn the lights out. That's the only thing I think of until I fall asleep. It's fucking awful.
There's one I keep coming back to recently. I don't know why, but I also don't think it's cringy. I earned both sides, the being proud, but also what I got is freshman year, all these girls were infatuated with my brother. And
same.
I got so upset with them that I was like, what about me? I'm cool, blah, blah, blah. And I told one girl that my brother wanted to ask her to a dance and to meet her in freshman hall. And the next day she came up and just like slapped me right across the face. And I was like, well, I probably earned that, but so did you. You could have asked him yourself.
I like that, you're like, wow, that's what happens when you fuck around.
I mean, I even do this, like, even not even things when I was younger. It was like walking away from a transaction at a store. I'm like, why did I say that? Or why wasn't I more friendly or whatever? Like,
I'm right there with you, man. It's terrible.
You remember that short but brief time where I forget whose vehicles we were using? I think one was Jake's, but we definitely
one was mine.
We saw. It must have been on like the early YouTube or whatever we were watching at the time. We're like, oh, we could do that. But the people that were like waiting for the bus stops and there was puddles of water right there. And you're just like, go, go. And you like splash the people.
Oh, no.
There was a period of time where we did that.
I think about that, like mean stuff, like stuff that I said to people that was mean that I deeply regret. And,
like that night more you tried to fight the guy at the house party that was in Jake's theater program while you were dressed as Fred Flintstone.
I was just messing with that guy. But the
Wait, what? I don't remember that one.
There's actually a picture of it. Of me holding Brandon back. Like pulling him back.
Oh, I remember that picture. But that was like farcical, right? Like you were just
I wasn't gonna do anything.
Yeah.
Oh man.
We were 22. You and it was a house party.
With a bunch of theater kids. We were in. Absolutely. Absolutely. You probably should have fought that person.
But yeah, I mean more than like, oh, that was so awkward or that was uncomfortable. I do think about just shitty things like that teenagers do and like the splashing and all that, and like I feel bad about it, like more just guilt, I guess, rather than cringe.
Yeah, guilt is a dominant feeling that overtakes my brain when it's quiet.
That's why, but I have earbuds, right, even, in all
day. Yeah, I know, exactly.
Listening to other people's thoughts.
I do think, you know, actually that's a good point though. Just a slight tangent is that it is good to be quiet sometimes and just exist, because I think in this time of like, you know, constant a barrage of you know, ads and screens and phones and stimuli across the board, you know, sitting outside and just, as the kids say, touch grass, like, it is super, it's therapeutic. It's not always the most comfortable, but I've found a benefit.
You look at the clock and it's only been 10 minutes. You're like,
ugh. Yeah. And you're like, oh, Christ.
I do enjoy, like, if I'm driving alone, to like not have the radio on and just, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just be driving.
Just mouth off to other drivers without music. You son of a fucking bitch. So like video kill the radio stars and all in the background.
Do you guys, I'm going to out myself here for a second. Do you guys ever talk to yourselves?
All the time.
Like, okay.
Absolutely. All the time.
Like less of like just like muttering to yourself, but also like playing out like non-specific scenarios in your head. And they just sort of like come out verbally, because I do that. And
like conversations you want to have with people while they're not there.
Listen
here, pal. I'm the boss.
What I should have said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's like if you see the Seinfeld where George, like, he gets made fun of at work and like he's like stewing about it and he has like a bad comeback. I forget what he says, but he says has like a bad comeback to the guy. And then he like thinks about it for like a week and then he just waits for the perfect moment to pounce. And like the guy, he says, like, makes some flippant remark to him, but he's like, the jerk store called and they're running out of you. And like, it like lands like a thud. like that's what he thought of the whole time.
There was an instance my business partner loves to give me a hard time about is we were at a Timbers game and we were in one of those like really small Portland garages.
Yeah.
And somebody parked so I couldn't get out, like we backed into their spot and he parked in his on a V. Mm-hmm. And so we had to sit there and wait, like couldn't do anything. I was like, I'm gonna call a tow truck. We sat there and we waited for like an hour and it got to the, like, I was just stewing about it, like I was leaning on their hood, so I was like, I want them to come back and see me leaning on there. And it was like, it was an Audi SUV, it's fine. And they come up and I was like, is this your car? It's like, yeah. It's like, get the fuck out of here. We've been waiting for you for an hour and a half. Don't be a jerk. And then we go to the car and we get in and they get in there. It's like, nice mid-size SUV, you asshole. And he's sitting in the back seat and he just goes, good job, bud. Good job. You got him. Oh, you got him. It's like, what I should have said was.
Yeah, you'll never like be laying in bed at night staring at the ceiling, like thinking when you act irrationally and calmly.
I know. No, seriously though, like when you guys lay down to go to sleep, do you think like, I'm satisfied. Like, I did good. Good job, you. Sleep tight, you guy.
No, that's why I sleep with a headband that has like a micro or speakers in it, so I don't have to fall asleep in silence.
I see, exactly. Something that has recently, as in the last week or so, been impacting my sleep. Not really my sleep, but poor Anna's sleep. The spring is in full swing here, and the pollen's out, and not that bad. But I've got allergies, I guess. Anyway, I've been snoring, And Anna's like, you're keeping me up, man. You gotta figure something out. So last night she's like, you didn't snore last night. I was like, well, that's because I propped myself up like on my side so that you could get some sleep. And I was like, this is 40. This is life.
Do you not normally sleep on your side?
No, I usually sleep on my back.
Oh, that's where that's when I snore.
Well, right, exactly.
I mean, I sleep with a pillow between my legs because my knees hurt if they touch. So here we go. That's what it is.
We out here living.
I need I got my own waifu or whatever they're called.
What's her name?
Postrapedic.
Sexy. question?
I'm talking about legends.
Anyone cringe heavily when they think of things moved they on from when legends. They were younger?
Oh yeah, cringe. Oh, yeah. That's right.
The top answer here, Shroomy19 says, I think it's a sign of personal growth. You're not the same person you were, and that's a good thing.
Oh, fuck that commenter. Is that the top comment? Wow. Yeah.
That's great. Somebody who took shrooms and like had a reset of their brain.
Yeah.
Another person says, pretty much just begging the universe to give me an entire do-over at this point.
I'm more in that boat.
I don't know that I would do it. Go ahead.
Every time I remember something awkward, I also remember that it was before the internet and I relax.
Yeah. That's
I mean, I guess that is one thing that, you know, nobody had smartphones or...
you couldn't film everything. Like now you have to be on your.
YouTube came along 2 years after we graduated, so you know it. We're fortunate, I guess, that we barely dodged that bullet of everything being on film, and you know, yeah, people walking around just filming. Just to
I feel
to
like there was a site content where we would watch videos, though. No, not that kind of videos. The but like just general videos that you could sort by like
rotten.com.
Actually, it was that and what? Man, what
or
was
like
it?
Like E-Bombs World or something?
E-Bomb, yeah, E-Bombs World, yeah.
Wasn't
College
also,
Humor.
What was the what was that horrible one? Faces
of
Death.
Death.
Was that a website or was that just?
That was like a video series.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I just saw a video of a guy who they're selling Faces of Death at Walmart. Like, you can buy, like, the Faces of Death collection.
Oh, my God.
That seemed like a good idea.
And the guy
idea
was like, I don't know that Walmart knows what this is, but...
yeah, probably not.
That buyer got fired.
Actually, have you guys, I mean, you should look up... speaking of YouTube, you should look up the original interface. And you'll recognize it, but it's also very funny because I haven't really registered that it's updated its look, and obviously it has. But
what has?
I forget. YouTube. If you look up like the user interface of YouTube when it was when it came out and we were started using it, it's all recognizable to me. But I was like, oh, I totally forgot that it looked so derpy. Like,
I have to check it out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. This person says the older I get, the more cringe. The older I get, the more I cringe at things I did when I was younger.
Couldn't you say, though, like Brandon, you were saying on the last episode, in your older age, you'll just like get more ambitious with saying things out loud? I mean, a lot of times those could also be cringy. Like, you're going to look back in another how many years and be like, oh,
yeah,
I remember
when
I, yeah.
Well, do you like something, do you ever just, you're, you know, doing whatever and suddenly just something that you hadn't thought about in years just shoves its way to the front of your head?
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from? And why am I thinking about this? And I wish that it stayed buried. And now, like,
oh, especially now
that's all
right.
I'm going to think about.
Especially the cringy, embarrassing ones that just like out of nowhere. I hate that shit.
I feel like it used to happen a lot more for me than it does now.
Yeah.
And go get that Alzheimer's test.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
What do we think? One more question, or what time are we sitting at here? I can't see.
We're at 50 minutes.
I'm convinced that I was mentally challenged until a couple of years ago. I'm sure. I'll think the same thing in a couple of years. So that's basically what Matt just said.
I'm in. Yeah. That was me answering my own question in the future.
Yeah. If you have any cringeworthy stories that you want to tell, send them our way. But I think that about wraps up the episode.
It wasn't it wasn't a video series, but I always enjoyed reading the Darwin Award books when they would come out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
like, I remember those. Those are always fun. Anyway.
For sure. Well, thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And after you've done all that, please also rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Give us 5 big booms. We will see you back here next Sunday night or Monday, depending on your time zone, for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out.